Natalie, who's sneaking out the back there, it's just her second time leading worship for us, and she's doing a great job, so, yeah. Amen. Well, as we, Richard, can we mute the keyboard, please? Good, thanks. As we we're not going to jump right into our message because I want to share a couple things with you as we get started. Some stuff about fall vision plans as I've been just praying and preparing for the fall. Some things the Lord has been putting on my heart for this fall. And I say fall vision plans because they really are that. They're plans. How many know sometimes we plan and the Lord has different ideas, right? So all of our plans are subject to, change by the Holy Spirit at any moment. But I want to share some stuff that's on my heart for where I see us going this fall. First thing I want to talk to you about is alpha clusters. Alpha clusters. How many enjoyed Alpha last fall? Got to be a part of it, all across the church, lots of people got to be a part of Alpha, and it was really exciting. And I believe that it's going to be really exciting this fall too. But I'm feeling like we need to do it a little differently. And I don't buy the if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing. I believe the Lord wants to take us higher all the time. So alpha clusters. What are alpha clusters? In the next couple weeks, we're going to be on the hunt for 6 homes throughout our city and region that would be willing to host 10 people at your home. And that we would do alpha all over the city. I think this could be really, really exciting. We would do alpha all over the city. And I call them clusters for this reason. Because we're going to have a leader, a facilitator, and an apprentice. Our goal is to have a facilitator and apprentice at each location. Could be the person whose home is hosting it, could be someone else, but a facilitator and an apprentice. And after Alpha is finished at the end of November, we are going to plan for each cluster to become 2 small groups. So by January, we could have 12 small groups all over the city. Just let that sink in for a moment. Okay, so this is not an idea I got from somewhere. It's not. I just really felt the Lord dropped it in my heart, and it just seems crazy enough to that maybe it's Holy Spirit, right? This is what we're going to work towards. Alpha clusters. You with me? All right. So when we talk about alpha clusters, you know what we're talking about. Second thing, and this is almost came together with alpha clusters as I was praying and listening to the Lord. Actually, it was on my motorcycle, somewhere between here and the Cabot Trail. So it's a good thing to get out and ride on the motorcycle. God speaks to you, right? So the second thing is Welcome Home Sunday. We all know that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people in our city and our region who used to, at some point in their journey, called Evangel their church, that are not connected to any church right now. Does that sound fair?
Yes.
Okay. And I would like to set a date in October. We have a tentative date, but set a date in October. Call it Welcome Home Sunday. And I want you to be praying about someone's name, or maybe two or three people's names, of people that you would love to see invited back to church. And that we would get their name and their address, and we would be able to send them a beautiful, you know, little postcard or something saying, someone at Evangel is praying for you, and they wanted to make sure that you were invited to Welcome Home Sunday. Because God has an awesome plan in the days ahead for Evangel Church, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. All right? Does that sound good? Yeah. So those were the two big things that really hit me for the fall, that things that I think could, working together, I mean, we could get those people plugged into Alpha and reconnected into the fabric of our church. All right. Kids Jam is a children's outreach ministry we started this spring as a kind of a under-the-radar pilot project thing. We didn't do a lot of promotion with it because the team that we had working and leading it were pretty new to that kind of ministry, and we didn't want to overwhelm them right away, but now we want to overwhelm them. They did a fantastic job. We had about 15 kids out to Kids Jam, and at least half of them were not from our church, which is fantastic. But we are going to start doing some promotion in August leading up to September, and we're going to kick off Kids Jam at a whole other level and see what God will do with it. So we're excited to do some fantastic children's ministry this fall. Amen? We are also continuing to pray that God will lead us to the right person for a family ministries pastor to lead our youth ministry and oversee our, you know, some of our kids stuff and just coordinate that and so on with our kids ministry leaders. So we're looking for the right person, praying for the right person. We've actually had a couple of really solid people contact us this week. And we're kind of talking through and praying through those applications and so on. So pray for us. Our goal has been to have somebody in place for September. And 2 weeks ago, I would have told you I'm not sure that it's going to happen, right? It's hard to find people in the Maritimes to fill these roles. And other churches are looking for people, and they're having a hard time. And yet, this last week has been a real encouragement to me that I think the Lord might have some possibilities for us. So please be praying for us. Also, last thing, sermon series for the fall called Come Together. It's gonna tie in with our whole Welcome Home Sunday theme, but talking about what does it really mean to be a part of the community of Christ. What does it really mean to be a part of the church? And I'm really excited about this series, and I think it's gonna help us. I wouldn't say that we are disunified or we're divided. I wouldn't say that there's problems with unity, but I wouldn't say that there's really strength of unity yet that the Lord wants to bring to us to get us on the same page, heading the same direction, and so I just believe this series is going to help us kind of, what is this church thing about anyways? Why do we do this? What's it about? Where are we going? Does that sound good? All right. So that's what's on my heart for the fall, and I wanted to share that with you, and so you can be praying, so you can start to get as excited as I am about what God has for us this fall. I know that summertime we can kind of just, you know, just chill, just relax, soak in the sun, soak in the heat, and just rest a bit, and that's awesome. But But we're getting re-energized and retooled for the ministry year ahead, and excited for that. So, amen? Amen. All right. Don't worry. I'm not going to... I planned a shorter message for the sake that I was going to do that this morning. So don't get too nervous. All right. So we've been in a series called Revive Us. And God is up to something globally huge. He's beginning to pour out His Spirit around the world in unprecedented levels. God is moving in this world in an incredible way. And I know that we are in a kind of religiously burnt over country where we don't always have our feelers out and our radar on to what God is doing globally. But God is pouring out His Spirit on the earth at a level that has never, in history of humanity, has never been seen. There are the numbers of people coming into the kingdom of God more than ever before in history, and it's exciting. We need to see that in Canada, and I believe, as we've said in previous messages in this series, that God wants to pour out His Spirit on Canada to position us to be significant, strategically significant in the last day's outpouring of His Spirit that is happening. And and I believe that Bathurst can be a part of that. It is my heart that God will pour out His Spirit on our city. I know when we look around, things can look dismal and dreary spiritually. We look at just so many people so far from God. And it's heartbreaking. Right? But it means that we are an amazing candidate for a move of the Spirit of God. I got one. We are an amazing candidate for a move of the Spirit of God. Amen? And when Jesus, if we're going to be a part of that move of the Spirit, there is a sense in which we need to prepare ourselves for that. Today's message, today's part of our series is called Prepare the Way. And when Jesus came the first time, God sent someone ahead of Him to prepare the way for Jesus to come onto the scene. And His name, of course, was John the Baptist. And I want you to, if you have your Bibles or phones or whatever, turn in them to Luke chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar... Luke was a historian, and so he's always writing these things about when stuff happened because he thinks that his audience wants to know those things, and they're helpful, they're informative, but that's the only reason he's putting that in there. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. That's not very nice. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And so, God sent John the Baptist onto the scene because God, how many know God does, he doesn't do things frivolously. It's a good word, eh? Frivolously. God doesn't do things frivolously. He's very intentional. Our God is very intentional in everything that he does. And if God felt that Jesus couldn't just arrive on the scene, but that something needed to happen first, I think that's really important to take note of. That maybe in this current move of the Spirit of God that God wants to pour out on Canada, that God wants to pour out on Bathurst, he can't just show up and do what he wants to do, but there needs to be a preparation that would take place in our hearts and in our lives so that we are ready for the moment when the Spirit of God is poured out. And a big part of that preparation for the moment of Jesus coming on the scene was something called repentance. Now, we've touched on repentance in a previous message in this series, but I just want to dig in a little deeper on this morning. In order to prepare for Jesus coming, John the Baptist went all over the countryside challenging people for repentance. That there were things in their hearts they needed to turn away from. There were things in their hearts that they had become comfortable with that were not okay if they were going to see a move of the Spirit in their lives. It's quiet. They were scared. So sometimes, because we know God loves us, we know that his grace is bigger than our sin, we know that we serve a kind and loving Heavenly Father, we know that if we have come to Christ and we are in Christ, that there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we can get just a little bit overly comfortable with a level of disobedience in our lives that is not a matter maybe of heaven or hell, maybe not a matter of you know, am I saved or not, but maybe leaves us as a tainted enough vessel that God is not willing or ready to pour out his Spirit in our lives the way we are right now. It's not a matter of, this is not a hellfire brimstone message. This is not a matter of judgment. It's a matter of calling us higher to say, God has more for us, but we need to prepare our hearts in order for him to be able and willing to pour out the more. And though we may be just fine to ride the easy chair into heaven, do we want to miss being a part of the sweeping move of God that he's going to do? Do we want to be playing catch up when everyone else is in the middle of God's good thing? Right? And so we may, because we become comfortable, we may feel like God doesn't really care. But God is calling his church to holiness. He's calling his church to holiness. For 30 years now, there have been shocking stories in the news, one after the other, of ministries that have fallen into disrepute, ill repute, sin. Right? And God is trying to wake up his church to say, get ready. Get ready. I have more for you. I think I shared with you before that I remember one season in my own life where God gave me a vision, if you want to call it that, or just a brain picture of me as a grown up sitting in a little kiddie pool splashing in the water. And it looked silly, of course. And this voice from the Lord saying, come into the deep end. Get out of the waiting pool and come into the deep end. God has more for us, folks. But as long as we're splashing in the waiting pool, we're not going to experience the more. And so, pornography. Is so rampant in our society. Our society has become so sexualized that pornography is a major issue. It's now stated that most teenagers have experienced, by accident or not, have experienced pornography by the time they're 13 or 14. And most that have been trapped by pornography experienced it as early as 11. That a significant number of people in our culture are addicted. And that the numbers are not different enough between the world and the church. And it's just an example I want to throw out there. But folks, we can't toy around with stuff like this in our lives and then go, God, send your spirit. And I don't say that if you're because statistically, there are people in this room that are trapped by pornography. And don't judge and shake your heads because you don't know who it is. But the people who are trapped by it are trapped, and they need the chains broken off of their lives and need to turn from it. Substance abuse. I can't believe what our government is doing. Right? I don't like to get political in the pulpit And this isn't about politics, it's just about God help us. God help us. That our government is the biggest drug dealer in the country now, right? God help us. And just because it's legal doesn't mean it's wise, beneficial, or helpful in any way. Lying, cheating, stealing, falsifying records to the government. And we could just go on and on with little things we feel like we can get away with for a little while. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." It doesn't say, if I sinned, the Lord doesn't listen. It says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. There's something that happens in our walk with God when we start to fall into a pattern of being comfortable with sin in our lives. There's something that happens. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my prayer, David says. If we want to be a part of the next move of the Lord, we need to repent. We need to repent, to turn from sin and to prepare our hearts. Rejection of hindrances. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off." Everybody say, throw off. Throw off. Not just peel off, but throw off. It's almost a violent word in the Greek there. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Throw off. Let us throw off the sin that easily entangles, but it says there are also things that hinder that aren't sin. Isn't that interesting? Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There are things in our lives that are not sin, and yet they're hindering. And sometimes those are even good things that we are choosing to hold on to when God has best things to give us. Sometimes the enemy of God's best is good that we can't let go of. Distractions. God cannot fill a clenched hand. If I'm holding on to something I think is best for my life, but God's trying to get me to let go of it so he can put something even better in my hands, he can't do that until I let go. Right? Throw off the sin that entangles and the things that hinder. It could be a relationship. It could be a position in your job. It could even be a ministry that God wants you to let go of because he's got a better ministry in store for you. Right? And if that ministry has become your identity, maybe there's some entanglement that God wants to break you free of so he can take you to another level. To prepare our hearts, we need to rekindle our first love. In Revelation 2, Jesus dictates a letter to John. John was actually the bishop or overseer over the region where Ephesus was, and Jesus dictates a letter to Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. And in this letter, Jesus said that the church in Ephesus had a lot of good things going on. They were well organized. They stood for truth. They did all kinds of good things. But with all those good things going on, Jesus said he had one thing against them, that they had forsaken their first love. Forsaken their first love. He says, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. In other words, what little glimmer of flame of the Spirit that is still there, you're going to lose it. How is your love level in your walk with Jesus? How is your love level? Are you passionate? Are you so passionate for Jesus that you will abandon all other pursuits to run after him? If you're bored with Jesus, may I suggest that your love level needs some help? This life, this Jesus life, is crazy. It is an adventure like none other, and if we are bored in it, we've lost our way. We've lost our first love. So how do we rekindle our first love? How do we do that? Jesus says, repent. In other words, turn around, stop doing what you're doing, and do the things you did at first. What did you do when you first came to know Jesus? What fired you up? What got you out of bed in the morning? What made you get out there and tell people about this amazing new thing that had happened to you? What did you do then and you're not doing now? Seems pretty simple. We need to prepare our hearts, folks. When I read this passage from Luke, where John quotes Isaiah 40, and he says, he's a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall be made straight, the rough places smooth, and all the people shall see the salvation of the Lord. What I see when I read this, valleys up, mountains down, crooked, straight, rough, smooth. We're making a landing strip for the glory of God. That's what I see when I read this. We need to make our lives a landing strip for the glory of God. And everything that would cause his glory to pull back because we're not ready, we need to deal with. And make our lives a landing strip for his glory. Need to prepare our hearts. Need to position our lives. World Cup just ended last Sunday, actually. My team didn't win, but that's okay. I'll forgive them. But goals like this, that was one of the really sweet goals that happened in the World Cup. Goals like this only happen when somebody has positioned themselves in just the right spot so that they are ready to get the ball, right? It's like probably one of the most famous hockey quotes is Wayne Gretzky saying, I don't skate to where the puck is, I skate to where it's going to be, right? Position myself so that I'm ready for the moment. I'm ready for what God wants to do. It's true spiritually as well. Position myself So I think we need to have a posture of learning. Some of the most amazing people that I have known in my journey have been elderly Christians who have never stopped growing, who have never stopped realizing that there's still more to learn, there's still more to grab onto, there's still more that God has for them, and they are not done until they stop breathing. I should hear it hallelujah to that one. And I love when I find people who have a posture of learning that they just want to grow. They don't, I've heard that. Somebody preached on that before. I've heard that. How many know we can hear all kinds of stuff and not learn it, not absorb it, not take it in, right? And so a posture of learning, I think, positions our lives, getting in that place where we are learning and ready and preparing, practicing His presence. There was a 17th century monk, so from 1600s, named Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book about this, just about his own experience. He wasn't some great teacher or great, church leader. He was a monk who lived in a monastery and peeled potatoes. He did kitchen duty and garden duty, and he worked, but while he worked, he learned the art of practicing the presence of God in his day-to-day stuff. That it wasn't about, I've got to have some peak experience at some church service or conference, or I've got to have, I got to have some mood music before Jesus can show up in my life. Or it's just really being aware that Jesus wants to break into our every moment and learning how to access the presence of God, to connect with His presence each and every day. Yes. There is something that happens when the church of Jesus gathers together to worship Him and creates an atmosphere by our collective worship where the Spirit can do something unique. But if that's our only experience of God's presence, then we need to step it up. We need to learn how to connect with His presence, peeling potatoes. All right, and lastly, so there's, if you've been around Pentecostal circles, Pentecostal movement for a few years, you've heard people say things like, get under the spout where the glory comes out, right? But there is something to putting ourselves in places and opportunities where we can experience the glory and the goodness of God. And I want to encourage you, look for ways, look for opportunities. When we are worshiping on a Sunday morning like this, don't be an observer, but press in. Say, maybe you're saying, I don't know how to do this thing yet. I don't know how to worship God yet, but I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to worship Him, and I may not feel anything yet, but I'm just going to push, I'm going to put myself in a position where God can do something in my life. Dare I say, I'm going to go to prayer meeting. At least one a year. Come on, folks. I'm going to go to prayer meeting on Thursday night. I'm going to see what God's up to. I'm going to position myself where God can do something in me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand.